Welcome to Lenexa United Methodist Church. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Thank you all for coming. If you would, please get the notebook that is at the end of each pew and register your attendance. If you are a visitor, please be sure to mark your information so that we may greet you properly. The Advent offering this year will support the pastor's discretionary fund. It's called the Agape Fund. This fund is used to assist members of our congregation in times of crisis. You can place your gift in the Advent offering envelope that's there in the pew. If you're paying with a check, please mark Advent in the memo. This week, all ages are invited on Wednesday night for Christmas caroling. We're going to go to the East Side Village, or the East Side Terrace of Lakeview Village. Meet here at the church parking lot at the west doors at 5:30. Then we'll come back at 6:30, have pulled pork, cookies, hot chocolate. And please let Mary Chloe know if you are planning to attend. We invite you on Thursday night to come to the Underground, which is the education building basement, at 7 p.m. for an evening of silence, calmness, and reflection. Once you enter the Underground, talking will not be permitted. You'll be invited to find a place to sit and journal, pray, meditate, and close your eyes. The Underground Collective will begin playing jazz music at 7 p.m. and will continue playing for the entire service. If you have taken one of the Christmas tree ornaments for the Sunflower Teachers, please make sure you have all your gifts back here to the church by December 29th. And then Christmas Eve, we will have three services here. The 5 p.m. service will be here in the sanctuary. It will include communion and a family Christmas skit. The 7 p.m. service will be here in the sanctuary. It will include communion, chancel choir, a brass quartet, and candlelight. And the 11 p.m. service will be in the Underground and will include communion and candlelight. Please invite your friends to attend. Please join now in the gathering music. Stand if you are able.
Test.
As we stand, I'd like to note, and please, if you see Jim Soper, thank him for fixing our screens. And then also thank Brian Ewing, who's run about 30 laps of the church this morning, getting our sound on. So give him a big thank you.
To the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare His
and heaven and nature sing.
And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven.
pray without ceasing. Our hope is in the name of the Lord. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ. The God of peace is with us. Do not quench the spirit. Hold fast to what is good.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
The one who calls you is faithful.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody, I didn't see you moving up, so I thought maybe I need to say it. Go ahead and repeat it. It's okay.
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ.
The God of peace is with us.
Do not quench the spirit. Hold fast to what is good.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
The one who calls you is faithful.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Again for coming this morning on this snowy day. Pastor Ezekiel is still in Kenya, so he is on our concern list, and I will be celebrating that he's coming back. Please turn to the blue page on the right-hand side as the concerns and the celebrations of our congregation right now. Bernie McNichols' sister is has had a difficult time recovering from a fall, and Charles Cooper is home recuperating from surgery. Please keep all the names on here in your prayers. I also wanted to mention that our goal is to continue our streak of paying 100% of our mission shares, which we have done for the last 9 years. In order to do this again, we need $45,200 to pay all of our regular bills and the mission shares by the end of December. If you have not yet completed all of your pledge, your financial pledge for 2019, please make every effort to do so by December 31st. And if you have fulfilled your pledge, please prayerfully consider giving extra toward this important effort. And as I mentioned, Pastor Ezekiel will be traveling home from Kenya this week, so please pray for safe travels for him. Let's be an attitude of prayer at this time. First, we will have a silent prayer. Then I will have pastoral prayer. Dear Creator of all, in this Advent season, we anxiously await the coming of a Savior, but we are preoccupied by decorating, shopping, wrapping, writing cards, baking cookies, making fudge, and holiday parties. Help us to pause at this time in stillness, to reflect on the most magnificent gift of all, your presence among us on this earth, and the ultimate sacrifice you made on our behalf. We are so thankful that your sacrifice allows us to connect directly with you without a high priest to atone for our sins. Help us to focus on the true reason for this season. Amen. Now please join me in the community prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glad tidings of great joy that were given to all people so many years ago, yet remain alive in us today. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the joy and peace that floods the hearts of all who have found him, the rock of their salvation. The power of your Holy Spirit is our strength, and the peace that comes from you is an abiding peace that enables us to overcome all difficulties of life. So fill our hearts with your abiding joy, that we may rejoice in life circumstances, in periods of plenty, and during those seasons when we have very little, in times of hardship, as well as those times of happiness. Help us to share this joy of knowing Jesus with all those you place in our path. In your name we pray. Amen. Now please join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand and sing the song of praise, Glory in the Highest.
Sorry, home. your glory. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Apart from you, there is no God. Light of the world, the bright and morning star, your name will shine for all to see. You are the one, you are my glory, glory in the highest, glory in the
Our scripture today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. And for those of you that were here last week, I double-checked this time. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Good news for God's people.
Please join me in a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, may you inspire the words of my mouth to spread your love to all who hear. Amen. Marie Kondo is the author of two bestseller books, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing, and the companion book, Spark Joy, an illustrated masterclass on the art of organizing and tidying up. The books aim to be the savior of people everywhere with a step-by-step guide to tidying, which makes organizing your stuff possible. How does Marie Kondo get her clients organized? The method Marie Kondo uses is to clear out cluttered homes is simple. You hold an item and see if it sparks joy in you. If so, keep it. If not, donate it or throw it away. In Kondo's world, tidying up isn't about buying fancy closet systems or hundreds of baskets. Instead, Kondo instructs clients to focus on what they want to keep rather than what they should get rid of. By changing your mindset, you can more easily decide what's truly important for your future. The point of the exercise is only keeping items you love using. Before donating or throwing items away that don't spark joy, Kondo instructs her clients to thank the item for its service in a thoughtful, deliberate way. By honoring your relationship with that item, it's easier to let it go forever. Can our material possessions really spark joy? Our lives are not made up of possessions, and having lots of possessions does not make a life better, which is why some of the happiest people on the earth are not among the most wealthy. What is real joy? The word joy is really common at Christmas time. It's the focus of our Advent candle today. You find it mentioned in Christmas carols, on Christmas cards, holiday decorations. But why is it mentioned so much at Christmas? Think of this empty glass as our hearts. We're always looking for happiness, trying to find the next thing that will make us happy. So then we think, if we get that dream job, that will make us happy. I'll just bury myself in my work. But our lives are still empty and lifeless. So then we think, I'll get stuff. When I get that new house or the dream car and the furniture in the new house, that will make me happy. But our lives are still lifeless. So then we go, okay, I'm going to go on vacation. When I see the mountains or the ocean or Disney World, the happiest place on earth. But our lives are still not full. The only way to have true overflowing joy in our hearts is by having the Holy Spirit deep inside. And that takes a decision. It requires a decision by us to allow that to happen. Yes. All right. Let's compare happiness to joy. Happiness is external. It comes from things like vacation and material things.
Well, joy is truly inward. Happiness is fleeting, while joy is lasting and permanent. I'm just checking. Happiness can cover up discouragement, while joy truly defeats it. Happiness is a result of circumstance, things like vacation and stuff, while joy is a result of a consistent relationship with Jesus. The word joy comes from the Hebrew word simcha, meaning complete joy or an assurance of God's faithful abiding presence. That is why joy is such a popular word at Christmas. It means God's faithful presence. This is because God wrapped himself in skin and came to earth as a tiny baby. God's arrival on earth put him among each of us. Because of him, we no longer need a priest to be our intermediary with God. We have the privilege of a direct relationship with our own Creator. In our Old Testament reading today, Isaiah 35:10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be among their heads, upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." This joy occurs because the Lord shall return among us. Then in the gospel reading, John 15:11 says, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Jesus is saying that his joy is in you when his abiding presence is in you. When things are going well, we feel elated. When hardships come, we may sink into depression. But true joy transcends these waves of circumstance. Joy comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ, God on earth. When our lives are intertwined with his, he will help us walk through adversity without sinking into lows and manage the good times without moving into deceptive highs. The joy of living with Jesus Christ daily keeps us level-headed, no matter how low or high our circumstances. So how do you cultivate a consistent relationship with Jesus? The first step is to decide to. Look at this beautiful gift package. I can put it under my tree. I can admire it. But I don't get the gift inside until I take action to accept it and open it. Similarly, we don't get Jesus Christ down in our hearts until we decide to allow it. Some of you may have been here 18 months ago when I spoke about my yearning to hear God's voice and direction for my life. Something had been lacking. I was feeling kind of aimless, really wanting to hear God's voice to discover my purpose. I wanted a GPS that would tell me in English exactly what I needed to do. My devotional life prior to that consisted of an email devotion that I received every day. And I would just quickly skim that, read the printed prayer that came with it, and then I was on to the next thing on my giant to-do list for the day. My fast food drive-through devotional life was giving me spiritual malnourishment. It was time for a change. I found the problem wasn't that God wasn't speaking, it's that I wasn't listening. I couldn't hear his voice because I wasn't making time to get to know him. I wasn't making him a priority. I needed a spiritual hearing aid. What I needed to hear his voice was solitary quiet time with the Lord every morning, reading scripture, just like Jesus did. Imagine a friendship where you never communicated or had any contact. It wouldn't be a very strong relationship, would it? I need time with God to know his ways. So I began doing this. July 1st, 2018 was the big day, and I've stuck with it. I call it my FaceTime with God, just like the video call function that's available on the iPhones. I found my FaceTime with God to be such a delight that I have to share it with you and tell you how much I have changed and grown in these 18 months. And I'm sad that I've wasted so much of my life without it. Each day, the messages I see in my Bible are personalized to me from God. Many times, if I had read that Bible passage the day before, I wouldn't have felt the same message. The most common message from God has been to point out my pride and selfishness. And I'm not talking about being proud that I have the cutest grandson in the whole wide world, but pride that I think I can do it all myself and don't need God. and pride is the worst of the seven deadly sins. God helped me realize that I crave human affirmation. I have learned that wealth, power, and fame are intoxicating, and that my desire for prestige and success is the voice of Satan. In fact, two of the temptations Jesus faced in the desert from Satan were pride and power. Human rejection means nothing in the big picture because God loves me. I clearly feel God's presence with me now. On the days that I've received a call with really bad news, I pray about what to do and say next, and God always comes through with suggestions. He gives me words to say in difficult conversations, and I feel him riding in the front seat with me. One time, Mike and I were facing a very large financial decision. I had my mind made up that the answer was no, but God showed me very plainly in my scripture that day that I was being selfish, and later I realized that saying no would have been very harmful. I'm sorry, I didn't expect to choke up. To some loved ones. So sometimes it's easiest to see his direction when I look back on something after it's happened. So here is how my FaceTime with God works. Yours may be different. First, I center myself by looking at this beautiful photo of a sunrise with Christ. And I recite Psalm 25, 4-5, which says, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." I always ask God to speak to me, and I ask him to show me how to apply the scriptures to my life. Then I reread my notes in my devotion journal from the day before. I read a very small Bible passage, very slowly, which is very hard for me because I try to skim. I started in the New Testament. I'm now into Hebrews. I'm not on some race to read the whole Bible in a hurry. After I read the Bible passage, every single day I say, "I don't get it," because I am not one who understands the meaning of poetry and visual art and literature without someone explaining it to me or pointing it out to me. So, therefore, the most important tool in my spiritual life is my study Bible. If you don't have one, then you need to put this on the top of your Christmas list. Seniors, you will be getting one as a very nice gift from the church for your as your graduation gift. After I read the passage and understand very little of it, I read the explanations down at the bottom of the page. These explanations explain the context of the Bible, which is so important. For example, you may know that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:3 that women shouldn't speak in church. Well, the context of that statement was that women of the church weren't allowed to learn how to read or study. So if they spoke in that church, they might say something incorrect. There are plenty of other places in the Bible where Paul mentions women speaking and taking leadership roles in the church. So if you took that comment about women out of context, you might think women should never speak in church, and I wouldn't be standing here, which is not the intent. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 11 that women shouldn't cut their hair short. Well, that is because the prostitutes of Corinth wore short hair to signal their occupation to potential customers. That doesn't mean that women in other places or cultures can't have short hair. It is critical to know the context of the Bible passage, and you need a study Bible to do that. It also has cross-references to other Bible passages that are connected to the one I am reading that day. The study Bible then also has questions down at the bottom that help me apply that scripture to my daily life. So after I read the message or the passage and the explanation, I reread the passage again, and it usually makes more sense. Every day I find a message from God that touches my heart, and if I don't, I reread and look harder till I find one. You don't walk down the street and find vast riches of gold right there in plain sight. Gold is a precious, rare commodity that is buried deep in the rocks. Those who want gold invest a lot of time and effort extracting it from the rock it's embedded in. The Bible is like that. We can only learn from the Bible when we use it, and it takes some effort to extract the meaning. After I read, on the screen is just an example of a study Bible, which would be a great Christmas idea. After I read the context and the explanations, then I pull out my journal, which is just a simple lined notebook, and I enter the date. I paraphrase what I read and the parts of it that spoke to me. I like to write a single sentence summary at the top of the page of something that really struck me, just kind of a single summary. Then I write out my prayer for God that day. I write out my adoration for Him, my gratitude. I ask Him to forgive my sins, and I pray for others who are hurting and needing His love. And I always close with, use me today to do your will, not my own. Ideally, I sit there in silence for a few minutes, but realistically, I don't do that enough. I do think this journaling step is really critical. It's helpful for me to see the trends in my conversations with God and my observations. I like to review what I've been praying for in recent weeks and review the summaries from each day of what spoke to me. And writing down the prayer helps me stay focused. I think last time I mentioned I had ADD, attention deficit devotional disorder, because my mind starts going all over. So making FaceTime with God happen every morning has taken some sacrifices. I have to schedule my time, and life is all about choices, so I'll be as close to God as I choose to be. I have to get up a little earlier. I make my lunch the night before. I've found that I'm more alert and remember the messages when I've been awake for a while, so I go ahead and get ready for work before my FaceTime. And I try to find a quiet place where I won't be interrupted. That's difficult in a busy household. Lately, I've been sitting on a step stool in my closet. If I wanted to have an intimate conversation with a friend, I wouldn't do it at a Chiefs game at Arrowhead. I need a solitary place away from children and spouses and distractions. God's voice is a whisper, so we must stop in silence to hear it. Have I missed some days? Yes. But my FaceTime with God is not an obligation but a privilege, so I don't miss very often. Now, you might be thinking that the Bible is thousands of years old, you don't understand it, and it seems boring. And I felt that way for a long time, too, so I can completely relate. The Bible is the primary authority for our faith. The Bible is our GPS. It is alive. It speaks to us. It's the medium that God uses to communicate with us. So we can only learn from it when we use it. We tend to like thrills and excitement in our society, and we're easily bored by delayed rewards. Feasting on what the world has to offer, TV, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Amazon, all that leaves us with little appetite for word and prayer. I'm sure to the Israelites, the manna in the desert seemed pretty bland, but it still satisfied them in a deeper way, just like the Bible. As I mentioned, a good study Bible is critical in order to understand the big words in the Bible. The way I make sure I hear God's voice is by learning His voice. I really genuinely hear God's direction in the Scriptures. I believe the Scriptures are alive, they're inspired by God, and that's the vehicle God uses to communicate with me. Time and time again, I've felt a very personalized message at just the right time with whatever I'm facing. Another way I think that I believe that whatever fills your mind affects the way you act and think. So another way I've found to maintain my connection to God during the day is to listen to Life 88.5 radio in the car, so I have Christian messages coming in my ears for an hour a day during my daily commute. And the hosts and callers will witness and tell stories of their faith, and that one offers local news, weather, and traffic as well. So while true joy cannot come from material possessions, Marie Kondo's principles of deciding what to keep in your life and heart and what distractions to get rid of can still apply to our faith life. I encourage you to ask for a study Bible for Christmas, then make it your New Year's resolution to strengthen your relationship with Christ. Does this mean that if you have a consistent relationship with God that nothing bad will ever happen? Of course not. People who have Christ in their hearts still have illness, grief, and disappointment. But with Christ in their hearts, they have contentment to ride out the lows and the highs of our earthly life. While happiness is fleeting and result of circumstances, the meaning of true overflowing joy is Christ is with me. So think about the song Joy to the World that we just sang this morning. It means Christ is within the world. King and Country has a song called Choose Joy, once again implying that we have to make a decision to have Christ within me. Then there's the lyrics of the new Sidewalk Prophet song called Smile. There's always a reason to always choose joy. There's something deeper that the world can't destroy. Choose joy. Remember the childhood song, Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart? Well, let's sing the first verse together. You don't want a solo. I'm not Dave Glisson, so. All right. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Okay, so now we're going to sing it again, but change the words to Christ within me. I've got Christ within me down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got Christ within me down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. True, overflowing joy is a gift from God, but you have to decide to open it. Amen. Now we will have Holy Communion. And when you do come forward for communion, please remember to bring your offerings and tithes, including your Advent offering.
Got to move the joy and the Holy Spirit. It'll stay here. My helpers are here. Before we begin, I want to remind you all that this table is open. As I've come to evolve into who I am now at these three quarters of a century, I want to remind you that when you come to this table, you come believing in Jesus, or you may come trying to find Jesus. No better place than with friends at a table sharing food. And so here we are again to begin this time. So the table is open to all who desire to come. I also like to say when I do this, and I've done this for years and years and years, to remind you that part of the scripture that Tammy shared with us this morning, it comes from the 15th chapter of John, the Gospel. And the beginning of that 15th chapter, Jesus says, I am the vine, and God, the Father, as he called God, is the vine dresser, and you are the branches. I think about the Passover. It was the big celebration that brought Jesus and the disciples to that first table. It was like Christmas for us. It was the beginning of the people, if you will, because God passed over them in Egypt in their slavery and set them free. It was the great celebration of the Judaic Christian or Judaic year of their worship. And so as we're in this season of our great celebration, when we come together as family and friends and share, I like to be reminded that those who came to that upper room and shared that meal were his betrayer, his denier, and the other 10 who deserted him. Not exactly a pretty picture. So, when we say the table is open, it is truly open to all of us, wherever we are, and whatever we've done. God's forgiveness, even in that moment as Jesus shared that first meal, is profound and life-changing. And so hold that thought, and hold these good thoughts that our preacher has brought to us this morning, as we think of the Holy Spirit, as we think of joy, as we think of this meal and what it may mean to us. We remember.
On the night Jesus was betrayed, and he sat in the meal with that betrayer and those who would deny and desert him, still, blessed the bread, he broke it, and he gave it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, Then he took the cup. He filled it with a special wine, I think special wine of Passover. And he said, this is the cup that represents the old covenant, but this is the cup of the new covenant, filled with the wine that represents his blood, my blood. As often as you drink this cup, you do it in remembrance of me. And so we come to this table, we share this meal, we come from wherever we are, come seeking whatever we're seeking, knowing that the Holy Spirit is in this place to open us to the hope of this season. Let's pray. Oh God, as we share this bread, as we share this cup, may your Holy Spirit indeed invade our lives. Touch us profoundly and in a life-changing way. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jan, for leading communion today. Let's now offer a prayer for these tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we present these gifts to you. Please bless them and multiply them to the extension of your kingdom. Amen. Please stand and sing the song of commitment, Light of the World. As we leave this place, may the God of hope fill you with peace so that your joy may overflow into the world. Amen.